Hey there, everybody.
You know what, Tad? It's still just me, Carla.
You know, there are some other people on. I think they're just not speaking, but they are listening.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Francis is here.
Skylar's here.
Cool. Yeah, some more people calling on. Some people are listening on the computer, so they can't actually speak. We're going to get started. I see a bunch of people are just joining in now. Wonderful to have everyone. And I'm just going to press the mute buttons and all that to get started. All right. I think that's it. Thanks, everyone, for coming to the new system. Hopefully this is going to work a lot better than the old system. And yes. So hopefully you can hear me. And if people can just keep their eye on the wall, because some people might suddenly get lost, I think, around the old system, or they're having trouble. So if people can keep their eye open to just help the poor lost souls who are having a hard time finding their way. Man, where to start? Well, what a week. Your homework has been so amazing. I read through most of it. I'll be going through the rest of it this afternoon and tomorrow, but so inspiring. I was just amazed by the stories that you were all sharing and the things that you've been through and the gifts that you all have to give to the world. It's super incredible. So very inspired by everyone, and I know some people were having trouble in the last week, which feels pretty normal. These 2 weeks are really not about getting everything crystal clear. To me, these 2 weeks, last week and this week coming up, are really just about taking time to unpack things, to explore, and begin to sift and clarify. And again, it's about the big circle. It's not about honing every little thing in the little circle to get it exactly right. We're just getting a starting point that's inspiring for us. That's really the most important thing. We're taking a look at it through a few different angles, mostly the angle of our story and what we've been through. So don't worry if it doesn't feel like a totally perfect package yet. We've got more weeks and to hone into some things to experiment with in a more specific way. The goal is just to see if we can find something a little deeper, truer, richer, more inspiring for us. And again, we'll hone it as we go. A good metaphor that I want to put out, I got from my colleague Bill Barron, is this idea of dating your niche, and that it is understandably stressful to think of having to pick one niche and commit to it forever, which is definitely not the point of this whole program. The point of this is just that we get to start to figure out what kind of person might we want to date and then begin to date them, not get engaged, just explore. And that's what the niching projects are that are coming up. So if there's any feeling of stress, I'm like, oh, I'm not figuring this out, it's not totally done, don't worry, the 6 weeks aren't done. And again, the point of the 6 weeks isn't about finding your life partner. It's about getting clearer and taking some steps, which I think as a process just makes more sense and works better, because I find when people try to figure out their niche right away, it often doesn't work. But then what will happen is people will either say, well, I need to pick something right now, or they just get immobilized and they do nothing because it feels daunting and overwhelming. And I found the best way to really, in reality, in the real world, figure out your niche is to try things, to get as clear as we can, and then we try things. So we're really building the 6 weeks up to this idea of having a niche project that's as clear as you can get right now and trying something. And from that real world feedback, that will help clarify it a lot more than any of the exercises that we could do here. And then you go back inside and you clarify and you go back out and you try something. A few things in terms of the big circle. Some of you, you're realizing your big circle might actually be a small circle. So that's an interesting realization, that the circle you have right now might actually just be one of the groups you work with, but there might be others. So something to pay attention to, because you may realize, well, more generally, I'd like to work with you can kind of chunk up a bit. I'd like to work with these types of people, and this group is one subset of it. So you may realize that. Just pay attention to it. Keep track of it as best as you can. What feels like a big circle, what's like sort of true for every client for you, and what's just going to be true for a particular group of clients. The only thing I'd say is some of you might be finding like what if I, there was a question about five multiple big circles? If you have multiple big circles, I would define a different big circle as a whole different business. If it's different enough to be a different big circle, not like a smaller circle within your big circle, at that point it's a different business. So for this program, I'm going to invite you to pick one big circle to focus on. And we can hone it down to as many small circles as we want, but stay within that big circle. So that's something I was thinking about. And one of the big thoughts I just wanted to say is how important it is, I think, for all of us to give ourselves credit and give each other credit for the incredible things that we've overcome in our lives. You all have not been sitting on your ass, just wallowing in your wounds and self-pity for your whole life. You've been working, and you've gone through some extraordinarily difficult, painful things, some of you, and overcome them. And that's amazing. So I'm inspired by you. And I just really want to lift up that there are other people in the group who are super inspired by you and people outside of this group who are inspired by you and who envy you and how far you've come. You are right now, without changing anything, without any more growth, without any more learning, any more courses, any more skill sets, you are right now where a lot of people want to be, which might be a shock to your system, but it's true. You are right now where people want to be. So I just want to give everyone credit for that because that's amazing. So before we dive into the next steps, let me just refresh the page here. Okay, seems like people are doing well. There are two things I'd love for you to do. To add to your big circle. Some of you have already added it, some of you haven't. But I want you to open up your big circle document. So go to that on the Facebook page, open your big circle document to edit. And there are two things that I'd like to take a couple of minutes for you to add. The first one, this is going to be really useful for us to just be able to keep track of each other, see who's needing the love. So there's two pieces to this. One is for us to keep track of each other. One is just, I think we'll really help refine the ideal client from a slightly different angle. So the first thing I want you to do, now that you have your big circle document open in front of you, is in brackets at the end of it, I want you to write a number from 1 to 10 representing how inspired are you feeling right now by your big circle. So a 10 is like, I'm totally inspired. Oh, my God, if all of my clients fit inside this big circle, I'd be thrilled. I'd be overjoyed. Yeah? So this is the week one homework here, the big circle. So, and keep it in the format, in all capital letters, big circle, colon, Tad Hargrave dash, conscious entrepreneurs, and in brackets, 10, you know, or whatever the number is. So I'll put this up just so you can see the format. And I'm a bit of a formatting nerd just because this makes it so much easier for us to support each other. So put your rating. Okay, so I've just posted that in the group so you can see. So I'm going to invite everyone to just take a minute and do that and update your big circle so we can know where people are at. And that will help me, too, because I'd really love to know where you're at from 1 to 10 in terms of inspiration, because if you're at a 2, I want to give you a little bit of extra love and support, and I think we all would be able to ask the kind of questions that might help you figure out what it is that would have you feel more inspired. So let's all just take a minute and do that. I know some of you are on the phone, some of you aren't in front of computers, but those of you who are, I'm going to ask that you do this right now. So how do you find your big circles faster than scrolling? Thank you for asking. Go to Files. Up at the top it says Niching for Hippies, then About, Events, Photos, and Files. If you click on Files, all of the files are right there, so all of the big circles, and that should be easier to find than just scrolling through. So, yeah, so the Skylar, thank you, 9.9, very nice. Mike, 8 out of 10, excellent. perfect. And again, let's put it right in the title, not in the document, but in the title itself. So Beth and Yvonne, if you could add it right to the title so people can see it, that would be great. All right, and Skylar's saying once you go to the files, you can search for your name. Beth, thank you. Excellent. Catherine, great. Excellent, excellent. Okay. So I'll just give one more minute for that. Okay, Pedro, thank you. I know when you get home, you'll be able to add that in. Wonderful. Okay, so thanks for that. The second thing I'm going to invite people to do, and I want to give just a few minutes here, is for you to go to your big circle, and I want you to add a paragraph, and I'd suggested this, I think, in an email before, but I want to make sure we have some time to do this, is to add, finish the sentence, the qualities that make them such a great client, or what it is that makes them such a great client, and then I want you to just type in, what are the specific things you would like as a client? You know, they show up on time, they pay you well, happily, they refer other people, they drink water in between sessions, they do their homework, et cetera. Yeah? So I want you to take just a couple of minutes. I want you to add that part to the bottom of your big circle, the way you have it written now, just so we have a really clear sense of what it is that they could do as a client that would bring out your best. You know, what could they do as a client that, man, if all of your clients did these things, these specific behaviors, if they showed up in these particular ways, it would just be like, oh, my God, this brings out the best in me. This makes me so inspired to work with them. Because I'm realizing that's a big part of the inspiration that doesn't necessarily connect to our wounds or any of that and our own life story and struggles. That just helps bring out the best and I think naturally would have us feel more inspired. So I'd love for people to go to their pages and work on that. And Elio and Michelle Lisa, on yours, again, if you can put the grade right in the title, not at the very top of the document, but in the title itself, that would help. Excellent. Stacy, thank you. Jacqueline, great. But so I invite people to add those qualities. What is it they're wanting in a client? What could a client do in working with you that would just thrill you and delight you? So take just a couple minutes on that. All right, another minute or so. Just to add anything that's coming up. We'll dig into this a bit more, but I just want to get you started on your own. What is it that a client could do that would really inspire you, that would really bring out your best? Great. Francis, thanks for the grade. Awesome. Okay, so now let's do a little bit of a group brainstorm. Actually, you know what? Let's start off with this. Why not? How do I want to put this? Yeah, let's do a group brainstorm. Type this question here. Okay, so the question is really, what are the things a client can do that could bring out your best? So I'm just posting that there, and I'm going to invite, let's have a little bit of a group brainstorm here. So brainstorming below, what are the things a client could do that would bring out your best? What are the qualities specifically that you want in them as a client? Not just as sort of a person, but as a client. And let's just take a couple of minutes to brainstorm, and feel free to steal from each other if there's somebody, if somebody writes something that's really inspiring for you, and add that to your big circle document. Yeah? So let's take a couple of minutes and go. These are great, everybody. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. And be as specific as possible. When I say Stacy says they're deeply respectful and appreciative, how would that show up? What might they do? They're curious. How would that show up? Enthusiastic. How would that show up? You say they're direct. About what things would you most want them to be direct about? In what way? Do you want them to say that in person, send you emails? Let's get as specific as possible about what you want. If they're in touch with their feelings, how would that show up? let's get as clear and specific. They bring you little presents. Nice. I like your style, Debbie. So they do the homework I give them. Great. They teach me something either about my process or life. Wonderful. These are great. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. And feel free, again, read other people's stuff. Brainstorm. Build off it. Maybe it'll inspire something you have. These are great. These are great. All right. Here's another twist on this I'm going to put out. What are your expectations of them? There might be some deal breakers. What are your expectations for them as a client? That might be another way to look at it. There are certain things you can bring out your best, but there might also be things you just expect, and it's like, wow, if they're not meeting certain expectations, you would just probably let them go because that's not a fit, yeah? So what are your expectations? What do you need from them for this to work? You know, there are certain things that if they don't bring them to the table, you're not going to be able to do your best work. It's not going to happen. So what are the things that's like, look, if this is going to work out, here's what I need from you. This is what I expect from you as a client. And if you bring that, that's going to allow me to do my best work. So let's take another couple of minutes. Keep brainstorming. These are really good, what you're coming up with. Great. About one more minute. And again, read back through. Read back through to see if there's anything else. Sorry, Joy, you're right. You probably would have been good to start another post, but we'll just keep this one going. So what else? Read back through what other people have written. See if that inspires anything else or a slightly different twist on it that might be an important different differentiation for you. What else? Wow, 87 posts, everybody. This is really good. Let's see if we can get 100. Let's see if we can get 13 more. We'll look back, see if there's anything else. Can we get 100 things that we would love from clients? What else would say? Don't be afraid to be unreasonable. Don't be afraid to be really just honest about what it is you want and what it is that brings out your best. This is the center of the bullseye, remember. This is like our dream. It doesn't mean every client we get is going to have every single one of these qualities. But it does mean we know with clarity what a real good fit for us is. 95, 96, 97. Just three more. 98, 99. 100. Awesome. So you can keep brainstorming if you want. These are great. I would really recommend going back through these and reading these. And seeing which ones of these you can take and add back into your big circle. So you can really have a sense of clarity of, here's what brings out my best. Knowing that is so powerful in terms of our interactions with our clients. It's a great filtering tool. So as you look at that, and maybe add some more, again, I want to go back to something we talked about in the first week. All of these qualities are things that it's important for you to be bringing and embodying. Whatever it is you're wanting from them, I would really ask yourself, am I really bringing those things to the table? And if not, how can I do that? What support can I get in my own life so I'm really bringing that to the table? Number two, these are all qualities that you want to make it really easy for them to bring. You want to help foster these qualities. Because if we just walk in going, like, I expect this from you, and damn it, you better deliver and show up as this kind of amazing client, that can be a real burden on people. But if we want people to be direct and honest, that's a really great thing to want, then how do we do that? How do we make it safe and easy for them to share directly and honestly? How can we show them that it's safe, that feedback is actually wanted? You know, sometimes people are like, I really want my clients to be direct and honest. But whenever their clients are direct and honest, they get defensive and they shut down or they kind of yell at them or whatever. And, of course, that doesn't foster that kind of honesty. So that's just a reminder from the first week that we want to both be embodying these things but also drawing these qualities out and encouraging them, making it easy, rewarding them when they show up and appreciating them, acknowledging them, and giving gratitude to them when they do show up. Yeah, so that's something to be thinking about. And you might, when you add it to your big circle, I would notice if it changes the number for you. Maybe you're at like a 5, but when you add those, it's something like, oh my God, this would be a 7 or an 8. So hopefully that's something that can help make those big circles a little more inspiring for everyone, even if the total core of it isn't exactly clear. Yeah. So that's something I just wanted to kind of pick up on from last week. Let's see if there's anything else. Mary is having trouble getting in. I'm just going to post the dial-in info again. Beg your pardon, everybody. Right. Okay. So that's really excellent work. So now, next question, just a quick sort of check-in with people. And again, I'll post this, and you can write your comments below my post here. And the question is, question is this, are there any success stories from this week? Are there any victories, any aha moments, anything that you want to share with the group, any clients that showed up that were just totally your ideal client and fit the description and you really got it because you'd gotten clear about it? So let's just take a couple minutes. I'd love for people to share. If there are any victories or success stories that might inspire other people. Again, it could just be a realization that you had. You were like, oh my gosh, you know, I just realized this about myself or about my ideal clients and my niche, and I realized this is the way I was looking at niching, which was holding me back, and I had a shift, and now I see niching in a different way. It could be that kind of thing. Great. Beth is saying, I had 2 ideal clients this week, nothing like what I wrote about. That's so awesome. This is why the whole idea of niche projects and experiments, yeah, where we try something in the real world and we get real-world feedback. So, Beth, it sounds like you've got some real-world feedback. You had some clients that you loved, and yet they didn't fit your description. So in terms of big circle, I would just be looking at that, like, what was it about those people, and how could I weave that into my big circle so that my big circle is actually more inspiring for me based on something in the real world, not just theory. So great. Nicole is saying, I'm feeling more authentic in my sessions with clients. They have more powerful flow. Wonderful, wonderful. So, Nicole, I'm curious what it is about what you've been going through in this course that you feel is contributing to that. Betty, I'm working with my buddy. In working with my buddy, she noticed something I missed. that I may have a subconscious issue with taking money for being of service. It was subtle, but definitely something to think about. Nice work, buddy. You are best buddies for each other. Good job. Simon was saying, I need to put the dream work aspect up front rather than hide it away. Great. That's really wonderful. So Dabney, her lesson was, I tell the truth about my story, my wounds, my gifts. I get nothing but enthusiasm and positive support. Everywhere I leak it out timidly, overwhelming positive support. Yay, universe. Hopefully you're all finding it too. Ilya was saying, understanding the wound as the key to the healing. The wound isn't pointing the way, it is the way. It's often the case. Jacqueline, better discussion with partnering organizations about service opportunities. Jacqueline, I'm curious how this process helps that unfold. Carla's saying, the more I'm seeing myself as an expert at something, the more others seem to consult me for my expertise. How I view myself influences how others view me. True. Mike was saying, I put out my second big circle version about the idea of supporting non-teachers to teach. And the very next day, a friend who's a tech entrepreneur approached me, asking me to do exactly what I wrote. Nice. Kendrin was saying, at a moment where I realized that I wanted, where I realized what I wanted, everyone wants, but I must see the reality is only when the student's ready, the teacher appears. True. Marion was saying, I gave a workshop on compassion fatigue and got some real-world input about the organizational and personal stresses. Inspiring. I bet that was really useful. And this kind of thing, when we start actually talking to people, and this is why the niche projects will be so helpful, and as you just engage with people in the world, you start to get this feedback. And it's like they will write your marketing materials for you. They will tell you what Island A is like. So when you go to write your sales letters and marketing materials, it's like done because everyone, the people you've worked with and talked to in real life have actually written it for you by telling you what their life is like and what they're craving. So that's great. Autumn was saying, I realize that my wounds have brought me to being able to help people now with room to grow as I go through more healing journeys. I am, however, feeling in the air about my boat. Autumn, if you're feeling in the air about the boat, I would check out Alex Baisley's stuff for sure. I think we'll get to it in the niche projects, but bigdreamprogram.com. Yvonne said, I worked on my apprehensions with the word wounds, which is allowing me to move forward. That's great. Yeah, sometimes, isn't that funny? It's like, you know, it's how we sometimes need to hear it in the same thing in a different way or from a different person, and then we get it. So I'm glad you spoke up. Joy was saying, as I was working on my letter, because I was on Facebook, I got a message that somebody posted my name about a recommendation for someone. So I got on it, called the person. This was the client that I'd wrote about. That was my letter to a T. Bam. Also, I got a commission for art. Nice work, Joy. Wow, these are wonderful. Sounds like there's been some real stirrings. And if it still feels fuzzy for you, it's okay. It's good that we know your number and we're all going to, you know, rally to help you. So thank you. That's really great to hear, everybody. And I'm curious, just a quick question. Let me post this. So the question is, how was it reading other people's stories and letters? I'm really curious about that. How is it reading other people's stuff? Because I know some people, there's a lot of insecurity and nervousness and vulnerability and sharing some really real stuff from people's lives. And so I know some people are feeling a little vulnerable about that. But I'm curious if you could just share, what was it like, in just a few words, what was it like to read other people's stories, to read their letters? You know, I can say for myself in reading them, reading your story and your letters, I all of a sudden got what you were doing in a whole different way. Your credibility in my eyes just went through the roof because I really saw that you got it, that you'd been through it. And it really made sense to me why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah, I'm curious if there are any lessons that you got from that, from reading other people's stories and letters. Yeah, let's just take a minute to share. This is great. Keep them coming. It's really good. Carla just said something I think is really brilliant. She said, I saw that we cannot help all people with all things and saw super clearly why it's so important to spell out specifically what we can help with and why and how. I felt, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad he or she does that for people because I wouldn't know where to start helping others on that topic. I felt gratitude for the diversity of help. So true. Yeah, it is such a relief. So here's one of the things I want to invite you to notice, too. The word inspiring has come up, powerful, humbling. Yvonne is saying many times reading this, thinking, wow, that's me. Trust building, feeling appreciated. So all of those words that you're putting up, first of all, I invite you to take those in and know that your story was part of contributing to those responses. So get that your story evoke that response. But here's the main thing I want you to get from this and why I asked you to do this is the response you're getting right now to having shared your story, the response you've been getting in what you've shared so far, is the same response that you're going to get from the world at large, almost certainly. It's very likely the same response you're going to get from the world at large. And what Yvonne said, I think, hits the nail on the head. When the people who are an ideal fit for you read that kind of thing, they're going to have that same response of, wow, that's me. And consider what a powerful response that is to have. People, you know, I get how allergic a lot of us are to marketing and the push and the hype and all that. And there's this feeling that that's how marketing is. But marketing can also just be telling stories. You know, when we talk about marketing, often Robert Milton has this idea of how marketing is like baseball and how they're the different bases. And, you know, home run is obviously they pay money and hire us. But first base is clarity, they get what we do. And second base is trust, that they, you know, like, I like you, you're my people, and I trust you could help me on this journey. And get that just in telling your story, you've already got to second base. Maybe even third base, which is they're really excited and like leaning in and wanting to work with you in particular. Just telling stories can do so much, and yet it's so gentle. Yeah, it's so safe, and they can. The power of stories is people can find themselves in the stories instead of us pushing and trying to pigeonhole them into something. So just get the stuff you, even if we stopped right now and you just found ways to incorporate these stories and letters and the big circle and all this into your marketing, it would be really powerful for your marketing. You would start getting these responses even more from your clients. So so get that. It's really these kind of stories, it's a useful, largely, honestly, at this stage, it's useful just for your internal work, right? To see, to wrestle through your own stuff and sort of tie things together for you. But it's also, you could honestly just take a lot of what you wrote and put it on your homepage and have a real powerful response, or put it on your bio page and have a real powerful response. I think there's still polishing to do, but even as it is, it's great. So nice work, everybody. Okay, and so here's the next question. The big next question is, where are you feeling stuck? Because you're doing some homework, and some of you have done it, some of you haven't had a chance to yet. I know you've all been sitting with these questions, and your big circle, and the journey you've been on, the struggles you've overcome, the things you've learned, you know, that's a lot. And I'm just curious, where do you feel stuck right now that we can speak to and address and help support each other through? Oh, I'm just going to comment under the post I just put up. Okay, Carla was sharing, going public with a story of her rape when she was younger, the fear of backlash from the family. So, Carla, that's actually something I'd love to talk about with the group, because I think you're not the only one with that question of, you know, having real personal specific details about things you're not sure if it's useful to share. Debbie was saying, I think Nicole was saying, feeling scared of my big badass self. Oh, you got a lot of people who are going to be very excited about you being your big badass self in this group and who are not going to let you off the hook on that. So, yeah. Debbie was saying, I'm still not sure I want to focus on trauma victims all the time. I struggle to wonder if I can stay in that dense energy all the time. It's difficult stuff, even with the boundaries. Yeah, so Debbie, that might be a small circle for you. You might realize that the trauma stuff is one of the circles, but it's not the only circle that you want to have. So that might be really important. So you might sort of chunk up a bit and look in the bigger circle and say, okay, well, that's one of the groups I definitely want to work with, but I also want to work with other groups too. So that's a good noticing. Yvonne, now writing my story after a week of feeling stuck. Cool. Awesome. stuck in the wound questions. Cool. Mike's saying, still working through the big circle, weaving back around, finding, it's a process of distinguishing, not understanding, so it takes time, totally. Read, do an exercise, interact, and aha, then nothing, then back to, yes. And forever, for the rest of your life, for sure. Yeah, we're just trying to condense the period of time in which those ahas and distinctions and things can happen. But it's, yeah, this is a lifelong process. I don't really understand why I want to do what I do. Justifying is hard. So, Amber, that is an assignment, I would say, for you and your buddy, to invite your buddy to support you in really honing in on, like, what is this about for you? Why do you want to do this? Yeah, I would pick that as a focus. I'm still a little curious as to how we'll use all these parts at the end of the day, so Skylar, I'm not telling you yet. So there. It's all going to come together. Okay, Ilya, the question, how personal to get? How much must to share? So, yeah, Carlos had the same question. Autumn said, it seems like I'm getting in touch with my lifelong niche. I'm having dreams about starting a permaculture retreat center where women can come to heal. Yeah, oh my God, that's so great. But this vision will take years as I work towards that. What boat do I use now? That's all about niche projects. You're going to get a ton of examples and ideas for that. And it will hopefully get clearer as because the niche in the small circle becomes clearer. Okay, so Beth, you're saying, I'm feeling stuck with the streams of my work. I paint, I do healing work, I make essences, I teach creativity classes. I can't narrow anything down, and I don't feel like the universe wants me to, so I'm trying to find a way to speak to it all very hard. My wounds are very too. It makes it take more sitting with it. There are two things I'd say. One, I would talk with Alex Baisley, bigdreamprogram.com. He's really brilliant at tying things together. Second thing I'd say is sometimes there's a mistake of, like, we think, well, how do I use all these boats? I've got this boat of, creativity classes and the essences and the healing work. Sort of how do I tie them all together? And there's a couple of thoughts. Number one is sometimes it's all around the same journey. You know, one of my dear friends and clients and mentors, Erica Ross in Toronto with danceourwayhome.com. It's all about helping women be empowered. It's, you know, but she uses poetry, creativity, dance, creative expression, and visualization, community building. She uses so many different boats and modalities, but it's all about the same thing. It's about helping women bloom into their fullest selves. So sometimes it's that, and sometimes, you know, sort of similarly, it's about the bigger why that ties them all together. So sometimes it's like, you know, Apple, their big thing is think different, and that ties all the different things they do together, which Dell won't get away with and Xerox doesn't get away with. You know, Dell makes computers. Xerox makes photocopiers. That's kind of what they're known for. And Apple makes all these different things because they've really focused on the why. So I would consider that as something. Nicole, similar question to Carla. Richard, so identifying the umbrella label of my big circle and choosing a group or type or problems that I don't get bored with. Yeah. Right. I'm worried that I'm going to get bored with work. It might just be the idea of work, though. It's a good question. That's why we're taking all this time. I hope you get why we're taking all this time in these first 3 weeks to focus on even just this big stuff, this big general picture, before getting too detailed and trying to nail everything down into a few words and coming up with projects and trying to re-niche your business, because this takes some sitting with. Because, yeah, Richard, I don't want you to be bored either. So it's good to sit with it. And it might be that you have, you know, there's the big circle and you might have three different little circles that gives you enough variety, or you find that you get your variety from the different ways you go about working with those same niches. So there's that. So Simon, very stuck with how to incorporate dream work into the big circle. I'm wondering if the big circle wealth aspect is more of a little circle. Might be. Yeah, you might find that. I would say that the dream work is not a part of the big circle at all. The dream work is a part of the boat, yeah? And it might be an important part. It's like a room in the boat. It seems like a pretty important room in the boat that people are going to meet on this boat on this journey. So that's an important distinction. It's not the big circle. And what I'm getting is that people in the big circle probably need to have some openness to the dream work. You know, they can't be somebody who just never has dreams, doesn't believe in dreams, and is totally closed to that entirely. So there may be things they need to be open to around the unconscious, around the spirit world, however you see dream work. So that might be something when you look at it, it's like, okay, dream work's an important thing. My clients need to be into this or open to this. Like, that may help inform the type of person that you most want to be working with or drawn to. And you might find that like they're totally closed to it and you can love working with those people too, but notice if there's something there. Kelly, feeling stuck at essentializing or narrowing down my story to the five biggest jewels to share and also how much to share. It's a little heavy. Yeah, again, we'll get to this next. Joy, same question as Carla. Kirsty, whether I want to make my niche about past abuse and the trauma aspect. It may not be. It's, again, when we're niching, it's not about going back to the wound, sort of re-traumatizing yourself, and it being about the specific thing we went through. It may just be that, wow, we went through some trauma and some bad things, and so we can help people who've gone through similar types of things, even if it's not the specific kind of abuse that we endured. And it may just be that it gives us more compassion. It's, you know, it's something to sit with, how this is going to tie into your niche. Because you may not want to have it be about that specific thing, but you might ask yourself, well, who else has gone, and we'll do another exercise that might actually help with this in this call, but like, who else has gone through something similar that I might be inspired to help? And it may not be the exact same kind. Dabney, I'm not good enough. Haven't done enough work on my own yet. Not ready. Self-doubt. I love your honesty. I love that you're willing to question that. Yeah, thank you for the integrity of that, of being willing do I have the chops yet to do it? It's good to get a realistic look at that, and I notice that we're often way harder on ourselves than other people are. You know, we're so close to it, so we notice every little thing that other people, you know, I'll be on stage doing improv comedy, and I get off stage, it's like, oh, what a crappy show, and somebody else is like, that's the best improv show I've ever seen, you were brilliant, you know, and it's like, wow, I didn't, you know I could hit that ball a little harder, but, yeah, so thanks for being willing to check it, and I think you may notice the more you get in touch with your story and what you've gone through, that may begin to lessen a bit. And Daphne, I would say with your partner, that's some homework. That's an exercise to really sit with that good enough question, see if you can notice anything about it. And again, the stuff where you're feeling not good enough, that may be the exact place where your niche is struggling to. So any clarity you get about that might also help you reach them. Wow, so many great things here. So Jacqueline, and the alternative nature of my therapies and getting people to realize its value for them where other things are not working or as add-ons. Right, so you're doing stuff that's alternative and different, and how do you help people realize the value? That's a really good question. It's not something we're going to go into in a ton of detail in this course, but that is a great question. I'm glad you're noticing that. And that's something I would brainstorm with your buddy. What could you do to help people realize the value of it? I think sharing your story and having people hear the impact it's had on you will do a lot for that. Yeah, Vaughn was saying, he called them stepping stones, loved it. I think you actually used that term. Yvonne was just saying that she really viewed her wounds not as like terrible things in the past, that'll hold her back, but the stepping stones. And I was like, yes, that's true. So you might want to look at the really significant emotional moments in your life that often felt wounding at the time and like how those have been stepping stones. Brilliant. Right, Catherine saying, getting over the fear of moving ahead with my fledgling business, others in this class make me realize where my business is not at yet. And Catherine, I would say that there are others who are probably intimidated by you and super impressed by you in certain aspects. I'd say we're all strong in some things and not strong in others. And just get that there are people in this class who are kind of intimidated about you probably in some way. So, yeah, and it's good to notice where we're not, what work we have to do. It takes years. So I just wouldn't be too hard on yourself. It can take years to build these things together. So you're right on track. Kirsty, working out what I'm really offering people. Yes. Good. Both, I'd imagine, in terms of the intangible sense, like what's the journey I take people on, but also what's the boat that they're getting on specifically? Good question. Yeah, Kentron was saying, those in my immediate life who don't get it. I hear you. Megan, still have a title of the big circle. I'm seeing the awesome little circles more and more clearly, which is awesome. And I want to backtrack and see where they share and overlap against that feeling of not wanting to leave anyone out. Well, definitely leave people out. But I hear you on the name of it. You know, I have a colleague, a client of mine, and friend in England, Graham Stones, and we talked about this for years, and he could never kind of hone it down, like the Big Circle title. And finally, one of his friends, just in a random conversation, was like, "Hey," because he does physio work and kind of massage, body work, physio, and does yoga, teaches yoga, and works with a lot of people who have had injuries in yoga. And his friend's like, "Oh, so you kind of help broken yogis." I was like, "Oh, my God, broken yogi." I was like, "Book it, brokenyogi.com, get the Twitter account, get everything, you know." So sometimes it'll come randomly at some point. But stay open, keep the conversation alive, and it'll come faster. And I don't know how my story ends. Yeah. That's the important thing, just to notice where you're at now in your story. That's the only thing. It's the only thing we can do. Irene is saying, "I feel like I'm going in a 360-degree circle, and I'm wondering if this is what I'm meant to be doing." Really good question. I would talk about that with your buddy. Really honestly engage in that. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, sometimes we, in this kind of niching work, we do start to spiral around, but I would invite you to consider that it might be a spiraling in, not a circle. And, you know, with a spiral, it looks like you're at the same place you were, but you're actually one step in. And then we circle around again, and it looks like we're right back where we began, but we're actually one step in every time. So it might be a circling, but it also might just be that you're imperceptibly more close and you're not seeing it yet. Big circle, Francis is saying, getting clear ideas about how I want to work with my clients, but not clear on who they are. Yeah, again, I would talk with your buddy about that. Keep exploring. Right, Joy, again, that question of how transparent to be about our life experiences. So Autumn is saying, not knowing if I can even talk about post-traumatic stress disorder without the background as a therapist. How do I acknowledge this part of my past, the past of my clients, and acknowledge I'm not a therapist? Really good question. I think it's just important to acknowledge I'm not legally a therapist, but, you know, my life has prepared me for this in a way. I think it's really important you can name that if you're nervous about that as a disclaimer. But, you know, what I notice is, most people just don't care that much about the degrees and the certifications. They just want to know, have you been there? Do you have a clear perspective and point of view on it? Have you helped people? And if so, then there's trust, yeah? Stacy's saying, I'll wash in details. The picture is unfolding, but I'm unsure what to keep in and what to take out. Yeah, I think for a lot of you, we're probably at that stage where it's like you're cleaning your room and you have unpacked all your drawers, you've taken all the stuff out, you've thrown it on the floor in the bed to just figure out what's there, and now it's the repacking it in a more beautiful way and tidying your room. And if you stop now, it just feels like shit. It's terrible. It's messy. But this is the part where it's the muddy middle, you know, in a lot of group processes this happens, where it just gets fuzzy and unclear because we're starting to think in new ways. We're asking ourselves questions we've never asked before. We're doing exercises we've never done before, and it starts to stir things up. And it's like stirring a pot with some silt or something on the bottom, and it gets muddier before it resettles and clarifies. So you're probably right on track. So Kentron, the idea of a business. I don't want to deal with money, administration, websites, and the true icky stuff. That's good to notice. You might want to get clear on what it is specifically about those things that bugs you. And to find it, maybe there's a way you can do those things that would feel good to you, to have a website that would actually feel awesome to you and not icky. So I would, for homework for you, Kentron, I'd just be noticing what is it about each of those things. And, you know, what feels icky, what feels uninspiring? Because you may need to get other people to help you with them. So Mary Chu is saying, I'm finding it difficult to give actual examples from memories of events I can remember and finding the words to express what I want to say. Right. That's why we're here. That's what this work is about. Pittsburgh, I'm feeling in and out of my niche. I think more and more what I want, I think more and more who I want to work with about that. But then I think that actually my big circle is much bigger than I'm describing. I feel like I'm being too specific. You might have a small circle right now and you just need to step back a bit. So I would give yourself that permission to know that, that what you have may just be a small circle. Whew, awesome, everybody. Thank you so much. So here's the next brainstorm, because this has come up for a number of you. And for those of you for whom this isn't a thing, you may have some real wisdom on this from the outside. So I'm going to post this. And this is the question. So let's say you have a real vulnerable part of your life and you don't want to share it because you're scared of the backlash, or it's so vulnerable you're not sure it's that useful to share. You know, you were raped, you were abused, you were beaten, you had family issues, you know, with specific people, and it's like issues with your mom. You're not sure you want to share it because your mom is going to find out about it. So here's the question. I just would love to do a brainstorm on this, and you can post below that comment. What are ways or approaches that we can take to this? Because I'm really interested to hear what you have to say on how do we deal with this without sharing the details. Let's say you're like, I don't want to share any of the details, but it's still an important part of my story. And so it feels like it's an important part of the marketing and the explaining what I do. And, you know, it's just a part of my story. I need to share it, but without the details. So let's take 3 or 4 minutes and just invite a group brainstorm. What are all the things that we could do to share without needing to share any of the particular details? Yes, let's begin that. These are really great, everybody. Let's just take a couple more minutes on this. This is going to be really useful for some people in the group, and it might be useful for you too. So, thank you, everyone, for your thoughts. All right, one more minute. Let's just get any last thoughts that we have. Thank you, everybody, for sharing, because I know there's some people for whom this is a huge stumbling block, and having some specific strategies and ideas around this could really just help unlock things and move them forward. Okay. Thanks, everybody. That's really great. Now, here's something Yvonne brought up, and I thought, when you can't hear it, it's just me muting myself, so you can all work. So Yvonne brought this up, but I thought this is probably something that a lot of you may be wondering, too, is... we'll find out in a second. She was saying, well, you know, I don't feel like a healer. And, you know, a lot of people in this group are in that place of being a healer. But it occurred to me that that metaphor may not actually be the best metaphor for you. That may not be the one that works for you. So I'd love to invite you to share and post below this. What is a metaphor for what you do, if not a healer? Maybe healer works for you. And maybe there's a slightly different word. And there's a point to this exercise. But maybe it's like, I feel more like a shepherd, or I feel like a facilitator. I feel more like a coach. I feel more like a mentor. I feel like I'm a crone. I'm a storyteller. I'm a ass kicker. I don't know. What is the metaphor that might describe what you do, you know, if it's not healer? Because I know for a lot of you, it is that. So you can post below my comment there. So let's just take a couple of minutes. Okay, so Beth says, I feel like I give guidance, so I'm a guide. Great. So what is the metaphor for what you do? Mike Craig, fire poker. Trail guide. Oh, I love these. You guys are so creative. All right, let's take a couple of minutes on this. Awesome, we've got some midwives here. Whoa, museum docent. Catherine, I like your style. I don't know what it means, but it sounds classy. Best supporting actor, catalyst. Shaman, pointer, guide, mentor, crone, holder of sacred space, holistic practitioner, visionary, catalyst. Cool. These are great. So first of all, I invite people to look through what everyone else has written. You might want to steal one. There might be a really great one that really fits for you. Awesome. So here's why I had you do this. One is I think it can be useful to have a term that feels right for us, because I know this is a group of healers, and sometimes, you know, like we can use those titles and then has people not connecting. So there's that. But the other reason is, when you're writing out your story, when you're writing out your letter, the whole point of that story and letter should be about sort of making the case and showing people, here's how my whole life has prepared me to be this. So Yvonne, you said enabler. So that's what I'm curious about in the letter and the story is, like, how has your whole life prepared you to be a perfect, amazing enabler of people in the permaculture context? Yeah. If you're a river guide, what is it about your life that was like a river that's helped prepare you to be a river guide? If you're a facilitator, you know, facilitator comes from the Latin roots, you know, facile, to make easy. So what is it about you that makes your life has had you make it easier for people? What is it about you and your life that's prepared you to be someone who can make it so easy, et cetera? I think you get the idea. So I just put that out because when you're doing your story, when you're doing the letter, it's not just that we're just sharing, here's a bunch of things that happened in my life in a random way. We're making a case. We're sort of telling a story that has a beginning, middle, and an end to it. And there's a point to it. There's a moral of the story. There's a, you know, there's a journey that a character's going on. And the journey is, hey, man, I struggled, you know, but now my life has really prepared me to be this kind of a person. So I would invite you to take that back to your big circle, to take, or not your big circle, but your story, the letter, whichever one you're doing, and see if you can weave that in more. See if you can have your story, if you can tighten it, make it a little more concise, a little clearer, a little more to the point of, and it's not even about making it shorter necessarily, but making it clearer of how this journey has helped facilitate this for you, if that makes sense. Wow, you guys are going on these titles. I love it. Awesome. So you can keep brainstorming with those, but those are badass, everybody. You're awesome. Okay. Now here's something else that might, a few more shares, and I can't believe the time is going so quick. A couple more things that can be useful in articulating your story, but also the story of your client in writing your letter. This kind of thing can be very potent in marketing as well. What is it you asked? Oh, let me post it. All right, so okay, so here's the question. And the question is this. What is a metaphor of what it feels like for your ideal client being on Island A? What is it like to be stuck where they are? Yeah, and you can ask yourself. The same question would be, what was it like for you as a metaphor? So I give the metaphor of Island A. That's my metaphor. They're on one island, and they want to be on another, but it's like there's this huge ocean of water in between where they are and where they want to be, and it feels so terrible, you know? So, or it might feel like they're drowning. It might feel like they've got a noose around their neck. It might feel just like they're totally numb and on drugs and disconnected. What's a metaphor? So we're not looking for, so Carly, we're depleting, a prison, great. Yeah, so depleting, I like how you spelled depleting. It's like you're taking pleats out of jeans. So prison, walking in the dark, oh, good. So not suffering, we want to know, what kind of suffering? What's the metaphor? What is it like? Paint us a picture. We want to be able to see it visually. What is it like? Are they, does it feel like they're falling? They're in free fall. Does it feel like they've just jumped out of an airplane without a parachute? Does it feel like, they're little hoses hooked up to their body that are siphoning out their energy? What is it like? So, Simon, you're saying disconnected. So paint a picture. What is that like, that feeling of disconnection? What might be a metaphor? Give us an image something we can see that we can work with, something from the real world, yeah, a real world tangible thing that they might go through and be like, oh, it's just like that, or that, you know, maybe they haven't been in prison, but it's like, yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like being in prison. So Carla, soul-sucking emptiness, again, that's a sort of quality of what it is. Okay, but if it's like they're having their soul sucked out of them, but having their soul sucked out of them by what? And through what orifice is that soul? You know, like, you know, give me, paint the picture. Is it like in Harry Potter? You know, you might say it's like in Harry Potter, those, what are they called? God, you probably all know. This is how uncool I am. The ghosts that suck the souls out of people. That, you know, so you might say it's like that. You know, that's how they feel like. Or they might say it's the mentors. Thank you, everybody. You might say it's like everyone in their life or their family are like dementors that just suck, or like vampires. You know, you hear about that, the metaphor of energy vampires. So what are other metaphors of what is it like for them? A haunted house with no exit. Oh, my God, Carla, damn. An inner tube with constant leaks, right? And so what is it like for them to ride on that inner tube with constant leaks? At the bottom of an empty well. Oh, joy, that's what this is saying. You're down there and it's so thirsty, you can't get out. Right. So that, this is the question. Lost at sea with no maps, with many maps, but no shore in sight. Oh, that would be the worst. Kentrin, they feel like they're in a dance, which they know, and they know, don't know any of the steps. It's going wrong, but they don't know how to stop or how to get in sync. Yeah, yeah, totally. I remember as a kid riding on a horse, I was 12 and I was out of rhythm and I kept hitting my ass on the saddle and it was really painful. So maybe it feels like that to them. Think about, what is it like? You guys are just nailing this. This is really great. Walking through a city, changing much for the better, but they have a direction, but their map is folded in a spiral and they can't use it. Okay, interesting. So they're going through a city, but they can't use their map because of the way it's folded. They can't see it, so they're lost like that. Maybe it feels like they're in a city and they have the wrong map and it doesn't match the territory, and it's really frustrating. You know, everyone's giving them advice saying, this is what it takes to be happy, and they give them this map to happiness, and they try that map and it doesn't work, and they don't recognize anything from the city because it's not a real map. It's a bunch of lies. Miscarriage of the soul. Ugh, daddy. God, killing me. They feel like Voldemort looking in the mirror in the morning. Wow. Boom. These are so good. So here's the thing. This is a bit of homework, is to keep digging into these metaphors, because these metaphors will help with the storytelling a lot. They really make stories come alive. But they also can help you really articulate your point of view on how you work with people. It helps people understand what you do exactly, because sometimes it's hard to explain what you do, and you have so many different modalities, so many different things, but you can be like, you know what, it's like, Stacy just posted, it's like, you know, you have that feeling when you're in a labyrinth and you think you're on the way out, but it just takes you deeper in and you keep getting lost. I help people get out of the labyrinth. Boom. I heard one guy say, he started his talk, he said, most people are in a game of chess with the financial institutions of the world, but it's like they can't even look at the board or can't see the pieces or not, or something like that. And it was just like, wow, that's a killer metaphor. It's like, you know, they're using all these strategies against you to take all your pieces, and yet you can't see the board. And how unfair that is. And that really, I think, got people like, yeah, it feels just like that. So what is this metaphor? And I'd invite you to keep exploring this. And you might want to weave this into your story, into your letter, because if you can get a metaphor that just nails it, and somebody's like, oh, my God, it felt exactly like that. And don't worry about it being too intense, because if it's that intense for them, they'll resonate. But if it's, you don't make it more intense than it is, this isn't about being melodramatic. But if you can nail it and really think about, how did it feel for you? What was it like for you? And see if you can paint that picture. It'll help in the story. It'll help you articulate what you do. It'll help you articulate your point of view and sort of how you help people. And the other benefit of this, too, is it may help you actually switch up your big circle or figure another small circle, because you can look at that metaphor then you can say, okay, you know, let's say I went through abuse and I was beaten as a child, and as a result of that, it felt like this metaphor. It felt like I was trapped in a dungeon with a terrible, you know, torturer, you know, or something. That's how it felt, metaphorically. Or it felt like I was at the bottom of this well and there was no water, there was no love, you know. So then you can ask yourself, who else in the world might feel the same way? What are other groups of people that might feel the same way? Because, I can't remember who said this. Like, I don't know if I still want to work just with people in trauma who've gone through that. Well, if you go back to the metaphor, you could ask yourself, who else feels like this? And there might be another group that totally is, would use that metaphor, feels the same way, even though they went through a different experience. I don't know if that makes sense. You know, that in their real life, it was different, but metaphorically, it feels the same. And even though you've gone through a totally different experience, you will still have a total credibility with them because you get it. You know, you've been through that same metaphorical experience. And so you might find there's a niche there that gets unlocked by looking at the metaphor. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. That's something I've just been thinking about lately. So I hope that makes sense to you all. So that's something to sit with. Okay. And here's another question I would ask. And this connects to the metaphor. But it's also, this is just a useful notion in general, but I'll post it and we'll brainstorm that we'll discuss. The question is this: what is the perfect moment in their journey for you to show up? Because I think something people have found is, like, you know, a few people commented, it's like, oh, I'm realizing that I'm totally right in terms of the big circle, in terms of who these people are, but I'm needing to show up a little bit later in their journey for it to work. You know, there need to be certain prerequisites that are kind of in place in their journey, certain realizations they've already had. They need to be over the victim thing before I can work with them. Or, you know, you might be the person that helps them get over the victim thing. It's like, God, if they come to me and they realize they're not a victim, there's no conversation to have, so I need to come a little earlier in their journey. So you can think about this in real life or metaphorically, but let's think metaphorically and creatively. Metaphorically, what is the perfect moment for you to show up in their journey? There might be a moment that's too early for you in their journey, even though they're the right person, which is interesting. You know, they could be the perfect description of your big circle, and yet you could show up too early. That's not the right moment. Or you show up too late, and then, you know, they've already seen somebody like you. So what is the sweet spot? Yeah, in the metaphor, what's the perfect moment? Well, let's take 3 or 4 minutes to brainstorm on that. These are great. Keep them coming. So metaphorically, what is the moment to show up? What's the perfect moment for you? So Richard, you said when they realize they're in this state. So metaphorically, what state are they in? And so Pedro, that metaphor, walking in the city and being lost, he said when they suddenly stopped walking, they realize they're lost, and they've decided to just stop helping other people all the time and actually ask for directions so they can get where they want to go. So again, metaphorically, go back to the metaphor, one of the metaphors you picked, and within that metaphor, what's the right moment for you to show up? These are super amazing, everybody. Really awesome work. Take 2 more minutes. These are so good. I love it. So here's what I invite you to consider with this metaphor, too, with this perfect moment. And this is sort of a down-the-road thing, but I thought I'd plant the seed because it can be exciting. So you're starting to hone in on what is that moment for you to come in. You may not have it exactly yet, but you're starting to hone in on it. When you figure out what is the perfect moment for you, what that opens up is a lot of business opportunities. To be referring to other people. So for me, my sweet spot is usually when somebody has something, they've got a boat of some kind, and they're trying to figure out how to market it. So when people have no idea on the boat, usually that's a bit too soon for me to come in, and I usually refer them to Alex Baisley to work with, or we'll work in conjunction, but that's usually best, yeah? And then there are people who totally get the basics of marketing. They get this idea of hubs and platform and container and all these things I talk about. They already get it. That's usually a bit too late for me because I usually just kind of work on the basics with people, the foundation. So once they've got their foundation set and they're looking for real nuts and bolts stuff, it's just not my thing. I have some ideas, but that's not my strength. So there is this sweet spot. What that means is I can create business relationships with the people who can help out my clients before they come to me. To get ready, and I can also figure out who to send them to afterwards. Yeah, and some of them I just share and all that. But you can also set up affiliate relationships and all this, and that's one of the biggest ways you can find affiliate relationships is who do they see before you and after you, right? That alone, that idea, if you really work it and think about it, can make you a lot of money. That one idea, if you really work it. And obviously there's more to it, but that could add thousands and thousands of dollars. It could conceivably double the amount of money you make in the next year if you really get strategic about setting up those relationships. Some people, that's just all they do is set up those relationships. So it's something to think about. The metaphors also could be a very useful thing if you've had details in the past you don't want to get into. You could just say, I went through some really tough things, and it felt like this. You can say, I don't want to get into the details, but it felt like this. This was the metaphor. And people who have been through that experience will get it. They'll be like, oh, my God, that is totally what it felt like. This person gets me without you ever naming a single detail. Yeah. So these metaphors can be just so powerful. And think about the metaphors, the men are from Mars, the women are from Venus. A simple metaphor that people get is so huge in people being able to spread the word about what you do, in people really getting it and understanding it, and you being able to teach it. When I really got the metaphor of the islands, God bless my colleague Bill Barron for that, the idea of Island A and Island B in the boats, that clarified my whole ability to talk about marketing. It became the core metaphor of what I use. I talk about, my marketing workshops, the container being a leaky bucket. The more metaphors you can use in what you do, just the easier it will be to understand. People don't usually need to know the details of exactly what you do. Yeah, so there we go. Those are the exercises. So here's the homework, and I'll be emailing this out either later today or tomorrow. But the homework is basically keep going, keep digging. This call wasn't about sort of helping you hone it down. It's really, I just wanted to stir stuff up even more, and you're welcome. But keep sitting with it. Keep digging. Keep noticing what feels clear. The other homework is, if you haven't read the theory book on the wound, the story, and all the soil, I'm going to invite you to read that. If you haven't done the exercises in the exercise book, I'm going to invite you to do those homework this week. You'll notice some of you said to us, all of a sudden I was procrastinating and all these things. If you feel a lot of resistance to doing this, that's juicy. If you feel a lot of resistance, there is a really good reason you're feeling resistance, and it's probably something that's just gold for you. It can really help in terms of the direction of your niche. So the more resistance you're feeling, the more excited I am for you to do it. And I really invite you to, like, really take a look at it. Like, schedule 3 or 4 hours. Schedule an evening where it's like that's what you're doing with a buddy or on your own, whatever works best for you. And if your wounds are really coming up, I just invite you to get support. I invite all of us to have the humility to know that there are some things that are just hard for us to deal with on our own, and let others help you. Invite the self-care and support. Invite the care of others. Open up those conversations. Book a counseling session if you need. Make extra sessions with your niche buddy if you're able to do that. Get more than one niche buddy. You're welcome to do that too. So it's just an invitation to keep sitting with it. And I want to invite you to see whatever you can do to see if you can get your big circle to a 10 by next week. What do you have to add or change or subtract to have it be so inspiring? Maybe you need to add more details about the what they would do as a client. What are the details that would bring it to a 10 for you? Let's see if we can get everyone there. And if you're struggling, reach out in the group, ask for support. We'll all rally to help you. What would make it more inspiring? And if you want some extra homework, here's something I'll plant as a seed, is to find 3 examples of people who are working with your niche in a similar way to you, 3 people who could be role models, just to notice what do you like, what don't you like. Sometimes the contrast of just seeing like, oh, there's another permaculture teacher, there's another massage therapist, there's another life coach, who are working with a similar kind of big circle to me. Sometimes just looking at what they do as a real-world example will do a ton to help you get clear about what you want to do and how you would do it differently. You can learn a lot from that. So that's basically the homework. Keep going, keep digging. See if you can weave the metaphors into what you're doing in your story. So let's, as usual, let's end this off. I'd love to just hear, we ran a little over time, I'd love to just hear how your big aha's from the class. Let me post this 1 sec. Okay. So, yeah, what did you get from today's call? Any big aha moments? I invite you to share. And thank you, everyone, for participating and sharing so honestly and supporting everyone and brainstorming for people. So great. Really wonderful stuff that you've all done today. Good work, team. So it's just another week of digging into the same stuff. Aren't you glad we're not jumping right to another thing? You've had another whole week to sit with all this stuff? Yeah. So cool, everybody. I guess that's it. So thank you so much for posting your, Stacey's saying metaphors rock. Yeah, man, the more you can sit with metaphors, they're the best. Because they're so flexible, they're so great. Wow, that's funny. Metaphor is just a thing I just kind of threw in at the last minute, and I'm so glad that you all liked it so much. Cool. And saying, I love the metaphors I just came up with. And that others came up with. Yeah, steal them. It's okay. There's plenty to go around. Yeah. Oh, you guys are doing so great. I love you guys. Anne was saying, are we still supposed to write about the guardian angel? You can, if you would like to. I kind of see the guardian angel exercise as just a way of getting clear about the big circle or even the little circle. So you can write about that directly as a metaphor, but you don't have to, no. Cool. Wow, metaphors were the big hit of the call. I love it. So funny. Just such a random last minute ad. Very cool. Yay, you guys are the best. Okay. Well. Sounds like Mary is needing some love and support. Mary, if you need support, I'm gonna suggest post what specific support you're needing. If you need more than one marketing buddy, I bet you there's some other people who would love to have another session with somebody. So there might be more marketing buddies. You might have some other colleagues and friends at home. I totally get the feeling of feeling dumb and unable to say what you really want to say and feeling stuck about it. And that sometimes we're just stuck until we're stuck and it's so fucking frustrating. And I get it. So I get the feeling of resistance and anger. And I affirm that's exactly how you should feel right now, given where you're at, and it's perfect, and zero judgment about being there. I get it. And we all just want to help you. So, yay. Everyone, Mary Chu needs some love and support, so let's see what we can give her. And Mary, the more specific the question that you can ask for support or the best way we can support you, let us know so we can really give you the kind of support you're most needing. Yvonne and Kentron being buddies. Oh, man. Alberta just got way cooler. Awesome. Okay, I gotta go. I love you. Talk to you later. Bye.